How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a little bit of a mix of stuff, but I do have three flock camera stories here. Two stories and the veto on the Marion legislation. So the mayor did end up vetoing the flock camera legislation, which I'm not. If it surprised anybody, I'm surprised that it surprised them. It certainly did not surprise me. I mean, he's obviously a proponent of law enforcement. He said that he thinks that the city's worse off without the flock cameras than with the flock cameras. So, you know, I don't know what you thought was going to happen. But the better question is, what is going to happen at the city council meeting on Monday? Now, I don't think they're going to have the votes to overturn the veto. I even think that if Barr says no to overturn the veto, I gotta start going to the council meetings. Well, I can't think of the lineup anymore. I think it's Barr, Pam Larkin, Sean Barr, Pam Larkin, and then Thaddeus Smith, I do believe. Anyways, Ralph Smith, yeah. Yeah, so if Thaddeus Smith, if Pam Larkin, Sean Barr, and Ralph Smith all vote no to overturn it, then I would figure that if I'm Danny Clark, I'm probably just gonna vote to overturn it, because otherwise, I think you run the risk of being beat over the head for changing your vote. And if it doesn't matter anyways, I just keep my vote the same way it was, be happy that the veto didn't get overturned, and and move on. But that's perhaps a little disingenuous of him. But I think that's probably the best move. If that's ends up being how the votes fall. Now, if any of the first three there don't vote that way, I think it'll be interesting to see what he does. But I think other than that, he will just be keeping his vote the same to avoid more backlash. Now, I don't know, there seems to be some kind of thought process that there's going to be some kind of, it'll be a contentious meeting, but I don't think it's going to be, a knockdown, drag out kind of thing. But I'm interested nonetheless, and it'll be an exciting meeting. Now, I guess there's some question on whether or not the sheriff will remove the flock cameras from Marion, I guess, or maybe not Marion. I'm not 100% sure, because I don't know. To my understanding, To my understanding, I think he. I didn't listen to the interview though, so it's just the bits of that Scott's mentioned. He basically just said, "Let's see what happens Monday." To my understanding, he does not really want to remove the flock cameras, and he's been talking to other sheriffs and things as far as potential ways to not, I guess. So I guess we shall see what happens Monday with that, but other than that, we can move on to Longmont, Colorado. They banned the use of flock cameras, or I don't know if they banned the use of flock cameras. At the very least, they canceled their contract with flock. But only months later, the council voted to approve a new vendor, Axon cameras. Also, ALPRs, just the automatic license plate readers. It's basically just like a flock camera, except it's a different company. But I do believe Axon is bigger than flock, because flock, I do believe, just specializes in the flock cameras and, like, like surveillance type stuff. The Axon, they produce like tasers and like body cameras and drones and things like that for the police, and I think they even do some stuff with the military. So they're pretty big. I think they just went to a bigger defense company. But yeah, so people in Longmont are pretty upset, which fair enough, I guess. I mean, but they, I guess, plan to rally against these cameras as well, which I don't know why they wouldn't. But also, Axon didn't have cameras. Or they might not have not had cameras, but they've certainly been pushing their cameras since the whole Flock PR disaster that they've, you know, gone through with the public backlash and whatnot. And a lot of places have switched to just Axon cameras, which are, like I said, basically the same thing. And I think that if you're gonna ban them, you gotta, I guess. I don't know if that they were banned necessarily. I think they canceled the contract, which is why they were allowed to get these ones. But people are upset about it neither, nonetheless. In Sullivan County, Tennessee, there was a councilman named Joe Carr who said there was a meeting in which it was like Flock cameras, and there was a Flock representative in attendance who was speaking. And after he spoke, Councilman Joe Carr said, Councilman Joe Carr said, quite frankly, sir, I don't think we can make America great again without hanging your CEO publicly for treason. Your company is an enemy of the American people. What is it with people and threatening to murder each other and threatening to hang people or, like, I don't know. Like, why are we... Why is violence... I don't think hanging Flock CEO is going to do anything. I'd assume he's being hyperbolic here, but you can't go around saying that you want to hang CEOs or anybody. That's dumb. Incredibly stupid. He got a lot of backlash for this, understandably so. I do believe he probably got some people who support him, but... you cannot call for the hanging of people for treason, especially when it's not treasonous. They're just, as of currently, it's just a business model. When/if Flock cameras and or the license plate readers get banned or something like that via the courts, then, it's still not treason. So, I mean, it's just a crime at that point. Still not treason. Nonetheless, I just felt that was interesting to bring up because it does kind of show how strongly some people feel about the Flock cameras. On both sides, because the one town banned the... Or not banned, I think they canceled the Flock contract. And then they just got a different contract with a different... company that does the same thing. So I don't really, I think that there is support on both sides for this, but I think that the majority of people, frankly, just don't care about the Flock cameras one way or the other, and that's why you don't hear from more people. But, I mean, you know, I don't know how many people they're hearing from on average anyways, so you'll have that. I think that Mr. Carr here was, I think he should be, they should hit him with one of those, a sensor or whatever they call it, one of those slap on the on the wrist. They don't really do anything, but you get basically, you get a vote to say city council's upset with you. I think that's good. He's not done. I don't know what he's done, but he's I don't think this is great. Yeah, so I don't really know what else to say there, but I just wish that we would stop threatening to kill people and threatening to hang CEOs and destroying private property, I guess. Flock cameras are private property and public property. We destroy public property too in protest. Don't know why you do that. It's just, I don't know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but people do what people do, I guess, so there's that. As far as the Ohio news I have goes, I only do have the one story. And that is just Bernie Moreno says that he will only serve one more term in Congress, and he said that Congress shouldn't be a job forever. Fair enough, I guess. I mean, if he thinks that people shouldn't stay in Congress forever, then leaving is a good way to go about that. I don't think Bernie Moreno's done much of anything. I mean, I haven't heard anything in particular he's done. There's that. He beat Sherrod Brown last time around, but Trump was still rather popular then. Now, like I said, I'm not 100% sure what Bernie Moreno's done, but I don't believe he's put forward any legislation or anything like that. And I don't know, but I think I think a good way to, we could just have people leave if they think that terms are a good thing, then set some kind of precedent and just start leaving, as per George Washington. So there is that. But the Department of Homeland Security. To the national news now. The Department of Homeland Security says that only 185 non-citizens were in Nevada's voter rolls after it claimed it was thousands more. I don't know why they thought that there'd be thousands of them. But I guess there was some assumption that there'd be thousands of voter rolls that were not citizens. And 185 certainly is not going to sway an election one way or another. And I think that's basically what they figured out. Trump sent out federal agents to, check for voter fraud, and they found very few cases, despite the Trump saying that they were enough to overturn the election. I guess this is just proving to be a nothing for as far as Trump's whole election fraud thing goes. Now, there was the whole issue with Russiagate or whatever, where Russia was, allegedly, depending on how you want to look at it, I guess, trying to influence our elections, and I guess was influencing the elections. That's not exactly something you can do by taking voter rolls or fix. And besides, Trump was the one who had the ties with Russia. It's funny to think that Trump blamed China for the election interference in our country in previous years that he says was there, but there was none last year, last election, conveniently enough when he got elected, and there was none in his first term, conveniently when he got elected, and his first term was when Russiagate, the whole as Trump likes to say, the Russia hoax, I think that it just, I don't know. I just think that it's a mess. You'll have that, I guess. And we hope that it gets better, I suppose. But out of all of that, never mentioned Russia, and all of his talk of election interference, Russia was never mentioned, despite there being pretty good evidence that, well, they did have, I'm pretty sure, you could look into it if you want, I'm pretty sure that there was at least proof that Trump campaign officials, is maybe what you would refer to them as, had meeting with Russian officials. So, there's that. Nonetheless, speaking of Trump, Trump's building a ballroom, as many of you may or may not have heard of. I'm sure that most of you have probably heard of it, if not all of you. And the Supreme Court had, I don't know if it was the Supreme Court, but at one point, a court, it's been forever, since they ordered the ballroom construction be stopped. But Trump put an appeal in, claiming that the ballroom was a matter of national security, and the Supreme Court gave Trump the green light to keep working on the ballroom while his appeal was being considered. Jeez, maybe I do need some allergy medication. But, you know, I don't think you should be letting them build the ballroom while the appeal is being considered. If the appeal, if it was ruled he shouldn't the first time, because then, like, I don't know, then there's just more to undo and more money was spent and so on and so forth, as far as, you know, fixing it, because, you know, I mean, he's actively building something that he may or may not be ordered to cease building at some point in time. Unless the Supreme Court just plans on, like, holding it over until, you know, the ballroom's done, in which case, I mean, what's the point? Might as well be like, oh, okay, and then vote to let him do it. I mean, there's not much of a point if that's how that's going to play out. But the Supreme Court's been interesting. They've ruled against Trump on a few things, and it seems like they just kind of caved to Trump on some things. It's very unfortunate that it seems as if it's been stacked. The Supreme Court, that is. Now, I mean, I understand that that's just, you know, the way it works sometimes, I guess. Donald Trump just happened to be able to appoint, I want to say, 4 of 9, if I have that right, of the Supreme Court justices, and I think the, like, other one was appointed by, like, Bush. Yeah, so, you know, he certainly got the Supreme Court, at least leaning his way at all times. So that's unfortunate. The Supreme Court's supposed to be non-partisan, but, you know, you'll have that, I guess, when it's an appointed position. So I suppose you got that. You know, I don't know how you go about fixing it, I guess. I mean, you just make all the judges elected. I don't know if we can just elect Supreme Court justices. I don't know, but I think that they could always, you know, turn down the Supreme Court nomination, I guess, and just shoot that down and be like, well, nope, you're good. It's just like any other appointment, I suppose, but the Congress is also majority Republican, and they just kind of seem to be doing whatever Trump wants done, and it's not been great. But all of that, I guess, spawning from the ballroom being allowed to continue while the appeal is being considered. Also, if you have anything you would like to say, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. As the Iran war has been dragging on for, you know, some time now, Trump has promised in a quote, economic D-Day on Iran, saying that he will put unprecedented amounts of economic pressure on Iran to force them to make a deal to end the war. You know, in response to the threat, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, posted on X saying, "We have seen this movie before. Same bull, different bullies." Fair enough. I mean, you know, it's not like this is the... I mean, the United States has been putting economic pressure... Not just the United States, a lot of the world has been putting economic pressure on Iran for quite some time now. And, you know, they haven't done any... They haven't backed off yet. I don't see why, you know, they would do it. I don't know what's going to change as far as what Trump's doing to Iran economically that's unprecedented, but... you know, maybe he's just gonna like Anaconda plan them. And if any of you remember the Anaconda plan from like the Civil War, you just wrap the coastline so they can't basically just, you know, crumble the economy, which did slowly end up working. I mean, they could do that, I guess, but that's just a very large naval operation. Yeah, I don't see this economic D-Day going anywhere. I think it's probably going to hurt the United States more than it's going to hurt Iran, because Iran's, you know, been dealing with the economic sanctions for some time. Probably one of the, if not the most sanctioned country on Earth. I don't know, Russia. No, because, you know, I don't know, Russia's got some sanctions. So does North Korea. So... You got some challenge, I guess, but one of, if not the most sanctioned countries economically in the world. I don't think that any kind of economic pressure that we could put on Iran is going to matter. I don't, like I said, don't know what his game plan is, but I don't see it actually doing anything besides upsetting them more. And Trump, I do think, is probably in over his head on this one. I think he thought that they would crumple like... now, obviously, Venezuela was a different situation. We didn't bomb Venezuela to kill Maduro. It was like a special forces operation kind of thing. But I think he thought it would be something like that. I think he thought we would just, you know, bomb them a few times. They'd roll over and it'd be problem solved. But the world doesn't work that way, and I think he's struggling to find a way out. I do believe I read an article that says we've expended something like 80% of our I don't remember exactly how it was classified, like long range missile systems or something. I don't know. Basically, we've expended like 80% of our missiles, at the very least, long distance missiles. And yeah, and it's causing a you know, security concern and whatnot. There was a deal not long ago done with like Raytheon's who make the missiles, with Raytheon to make missiles. It was a very large contract, but you might expect that from missile production. I don't know why they don't try to find some, like, cheaper way to make bombs. All the bombs that we have are, like Tomahawk missiles, I believe, are, like, $250,000 a piece or something. Like, if a Tomahawk missile is, like, $250,000, I mean, it does a good bit of damage, I guess. I mean, as far as an explosive goes, but, I mean, like, you can't just, you can't make an explosive that costs, like, $20. I'm sure they can math it up somehow. I don't know. I'm no bomb maker, I guess. But nonetheless, bombs are just stupidly expensive, and I think that we should probably find some other method of warfare that doesn't involve bodies or stupid amounts of money. Drones are pretty good. We've seen drones work out incredibly well for Ukraine. They're literally just got, like, civilian drones with sticks attached to them fighting off, like, UAV drones from, surveillance drones, essentially, from Russia. We should invest in single-use attack drones if we're gonna go that way. Attack drones are probably much cheaper than Tomahawk missiles, but we love the Tomahawk missiles. And, yeah, so, We're not keeping up with the amount of missiles we're expending, and, yeah, so, there's that. But, the economic D-Day, I don't think is gonna go well. That kind of went, you know, far off the economic D-Day, but nonetheless, I don't think that Trump can put enough pressure on Iran via the economy to even do much of anything besides, you know, maybe upset them. Once again, the quote from Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi is, "We have seen this movie before. Same bull, different bullies." And I think that's, you know, I don't know the whole history. I know there's the whole hostage crisis. And, you know, the whole Shah thing, and the Shah was overthrown, and, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, I think it'd probably be good if we just stopped meddling and I was going to say the Middle East, but really anywhere. I mean, why, I don't know why we feel the need to be involved all over the world. I mean, we have allies all over the world, and we should probably help our allies and generally try to make new allies. But, like, I don't know why, like, I don't know, if people don't really want to do business with us, and they're like, why are we going to force them to do business with us? And, you know, as far as the whole nuclear thing goes, I don't know, people always, you don't want Iran to get nukes. I truthfully don't really care if Iran gets nukes. North Korea gets nukes, and nobody really does anything to them. Nobody talks to North Korea. And I think it'd be much the same with Iran if Iran had nukes. I think people would just kind of leave them alone, which is, I think, what they want. I think they just stop. They want people to stop the West, as they would probably put it, to leave them alone. And I don't know. They'd probably say something like, "Stop meddling in our affairs." But I think that's, you know, understandable. I wouldn't like it if Eastern countries were meddling in our affairs, which I guess they probably are to varying degrees. As per, you know, Russiagate, or whatever you want to call it. Or if you believe in Trump's whole thing, China. China likes the election fraud, too, if you believe in Trump. Not believe in Trump, but believe Trump's statement. I guess that's a better way to phrase it. Trump's not God. Far from it. Now, after the Big Beautiful Bill release, by the way, there has been, I guess, data dropped, that says that enrollment into SNAP, aka food stamps, I guess, dropped by more than 13% in a 12-month span as work requirements and other provisions of the Big Beautiful Bill take place. Now, the percentages do vary wildly. Like Arizona has a rate drop, like they saw a drop of almost 55% in enrollment. So, you know, numbers cut over half, like in half or more than in half. The lowest state was New Mexico, which only had a drop of about 4% enrollment, but Alaska was the only state out of 50 states that had an increase in enrollment, and it increased by 8.2%. So, I don't know what kind of work requirements or requirements were put in for the food stamps and the SNAP. I guess they're the same thing, I suppose. But I guess it was effective as far as that goes. Now it does. The article I read did mention that there were people who were probably, some portion of those people had their applications denied for, like, they didn't have the paperwork necessary, or, I don't know, stuff like that. I mean, it was basically just, like, you misfilled out the paperwork, or you don't have certain documents that you're supposed to have ready, things like that. But yeah, I think that, that's pretty interesting, I suppose. I guess we'll have to see how that impacts the overall economy. But a drop in 55% in Arizona is pretty interesting. A drop by more than 13% in the United States as a whole over a year. Like I said, I'll be interested to see what ends up happening as far as that goes. But I don't think people are going to be very, very happy with that. Now here's a story out of Texas that I wanted to talk about because I thought it was kind of crazy. Man, time's flying by. We got like 14 minutes. A Texas appeals court has cut the $50 million judgment against Alex Jones for falsely calling the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting a hoax. Sorry, I guess I didn't write a hoax. But calling the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting a hoax to $1.5 million. And the Texas Third Court of Appeals unanimously found that Sandy Hook parents Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis did not show sufficient evidence that harassment inflamed by Jones's hoax claims rose to a level that would allow them to exceed the state's $750,000 cap on damages. I think that the whole argument of school shootings being a hoax has been very not good for anybody really. I think it just sows needless amounts of distrust for something that is pretty good and well and I would think easy to disprove. Like, I don't know, it would just be a little too coordinated, I would think, to have to you would have to pay somebody, like, I don't know, it's just, it's convoluted. And, and I think that, now, I don't know what the qualifications are for the state's, you know, over $750,000 on damages, but the parents did face harassments for being, like, crisis actors, or whatever they're referred to as. When they did lose children to the Sandy Hook shooting. And I think that, I mean, I'm no judge, and like I said, I don't know what the requirements are, but I think that Alex Jones probably deserves to pay the $50 million. Now, I'd assume there's some basis to what the judges are saying. I mean, they agreed unanimously, but, you know, that's a lot of... I mean, $48.5 million less than what they had. I mean, he still does have, I don't know how much the lawsuit is, but he does have a much bigger lawsuit that's worth, like, I don't know, $1.2 billion or something. I don't know, billions of dollars. Like, we're not billions, I guess. It's in the billion-dollar range, though. So, you know, I think that, I just think that he deserves to pay the extra $48.5 billion million. I don't know. I guess it's a victory for Alex Jones, but he's got a lot of work to do if he wants to cut that money down. Now I hope he loses every other court case. I very much. I don't know. I very much dislike disinformation. Now, I'm sure I've consumed some different disinformation at some point in time. But if something sounds too wild to be true, it probably is. Look more into it. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Look into it. If something sounds too bad to be true, it might be. Look into it. Always look into both sides of all arguments, but, not this way. I mean, like, there's no way... I've never seen InfoWars, but, like, the man saying that school shootings are a government-funded hoax. I don't really think I need to watch InfoWars to know that he's full of it. Oh, I guess InfoWars is shut down now, I think. I think they declared bankruptcy or whatever. I don't really know what happened there. I don't remember. It happened a while ago, and he's just been fighting it for years. Or at least it feels like years. But, yeah, I think that, Alex Jones is a very dangerous person for the sheer fact that he does spread copious amounts of very... It's not just like, you know, I don't know, that McDonald's is releasing some kind of sandwich that they're not releasing. You see stuff like that a lot. I think that the kind of disinformation and misinformation that Alex Jones puts out is very harmful to society, and should be fought. should be fought rather. Profusely, I guess. I guess the courts decided otherwise. So, there you go. If I had it my way, Alex Jones would be in prison. He wouldn't even be sued. We would have locked him. Well, we could have took all of his money, given it to the families, and locked him up. He's spread more than the school shooting. I mean, Alex Jones is just like mass misinformation and lies and. People call it propaganda, but I don't think it's really propaganda, because I don't think, it's, like, I don't know, it's just fake, it's very incredibly fake. You know, I used to know somebody who had a sticker, or a magnet maybe, on the back of their car that said, InfoWars is forbidden information, or something like that. And, you know, I thought they were lunatics. You have to genuinely think. They genuinely thought that InfoWars was the truth. And that's why I think that Alex Jones is a dangerous person. Because Alex Jones, I don't think, believes, like, 70, like, well, more than that, like 98% at least of the stuff that he says. I'm sure he knows that he's lying through his teeth and just being, like, stupidly salacious, but... you know, other people are not, and they do fall for it, and, Alex Jones should be in prison. That's about all I have to say about that. But yes, in other news, other bright news, I guess, or brighter news, I guess, I suppose, the, USS Lincoln has been, relieved by the USS George Washington, with the USS Lincoln beginning its journey home, sometime yesterday, either last night or, earlier in the day. This was amid, complaints of, poor morale, mental health crises, and supply shortages. So, I think it's good that the Lincoln's coming home. Trump, by the way, when asked about the, I talked about the story last week, I'm pretty sure, but he said that they asked him if the by the way, they were deployed for a record amount of time. Don't remember what the record is. I had it in my notes, but I have since erased it so I could write new notes. But they the Lincoln holds the record for the longest deployment of a naval vessel in the open waters, and. Yeah, by quite a bit, I do believe. 40-some-odd days, if I remember correctly. Anyways, I want to say it's like 270 days. But, yeah. So, they have been finally relieved by the USS George Washington. And, I'm glad for them. I don't know. Couldn't imagine being trapped on a ship for almost a year. Doing nothing but launching, ordnance, as it goes, you know, the large ammunition, for the battleships and whatnot. That's all they've been doing, my understanding, is they've just been firing stuff and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, I figure that would take a toll on one's mental health. But, you know... I suppose that, I don't know where I was going with the I suppose that, but Trump said, the whole reason I mentioned Trump to begin with was that he said when asked about them if their deployment had been too long, he said, no, not nearly long enough or something like that. Unless maybe he misunderstood the question. Of, like, maybe he thought the question was, like, do you think the blockade has gone on too long? But, I do believe the question was, do you think that the deployment, the 8 month, I think it was 8 month deployment of this vessel was too long? And he said, no, not nearly long enough. Hegg Seth, when asked about it, he said that the reports were vastly misrepresented, I think is how he put it. He basically said that they were incredibly misrepresented. I do know that much. So at the very least, I'm paraphrasing. He thought that they were vastly misrepresented. But I'll be interested to see when the vessel comes home and they potentially, those crew members do interviews and stories start coming out about what it was like and potentially photos. I'd imagine some people were taking pictures, despite potentially not being allowed to. I don't know what the rules are for that kind of thing. I'm sure I've told the story before, but I was going to join the Navy at one point in time. I wanted to work on the nuclear submarines. Never took an ASVAB, so don't know if I would have even qualified to work on the submarines. That's a big brainy job, you know. One of my cousin's friends, I guess he went to the nuclear program for the military to work on the he was going to be like an engineer on the nuclear submarines, and I thought that was just the coolest thing. So that's what I wanted to do. Submarines or nuclear engineering on a submarine sounds pretty cool. But I never even took my ASVAB because I talked to 3 recruiters, 2 of which were Navy recruiters, 1 of which was a Coast Guard recruiter. And now I'll cut the Coast Guard recruiters some slack because maybe it is different for the Coast Guard. I don't know. I didn't follow up with more Coast Guard recruiters. But I talked to 2 Navy recruiters and they both told me different things and I didn't trust either of them. So I never signed up. Now, I get it, I guess. They have a quota they have to meet, but, you know, maybe try not lying to the people who are about to sell their soul to the government for the next 6 years. You ever considered that? I don't know. Like, the distrust within the recruiters is crazy. But, you know, I suppose you'll have that. But, yeah, so, I can't wait to see what the stories coming off of the USS Lincoln look like. And potentially any photographs, videos, or, you know, things like that. I apologize that I keep coughing. It's been a rough couple of days. I think potentially I do have allergies that are flaring up. And I maybe do need some allergy medicine. But with that being said, we have about a minute 45 left here. So I would like to just, I guess, give a little promo here. If you're already listening, I assume you know how to listen somehow, but you can listen at www.wwgh1071.com. At the very bottom of the page, there's a listen live button. You can just click the play button, and it might take just a second, but then it'll start playing. Or you can listen on the Amazon Alexa, the Google Nest Minis. I think we're on the Roku. I do believe. I don't have a Roku TV. I don't watch TV, so couldn't tell you honestly. I found some website the other day. If you just look us up on Google, I'm sure you'll find some way to listen. But you know, there's that. Now today is Friday, so the broadcasts do end for the week here. But we are still have or the live broadcast, I should say. But we still have broadcasts that play 24/7, 7 days a week. So feel free to listen then. Anytime, any day, and something will be on that's of enjoyment. And, yeah, we are back to live broadcasting on Monday, I do believe. But, you know, with that being said, I would like to, you know, thank you all for listening. There would be no show if there was no audience, so I appreciate that. And, you know, I hope you had a good time. I certainly had a good time, as always. And I hope you have a good night, as always. And I will try to do the same. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of...